Well, greetings once again, all the way from Kelowna. Sorry to say this morning, you know, my wife and I really like the drive down here. It's a nice drive, except for this morning. We got on the freeway, went about 3/4 of a mile, and all of a sudden we're going like 5 miles per hour for the next hour and a half. But we made it. We're glad to be here and worshiping together with you as a family. I like that children's story this morning. It kind of reminded me of a friend of mine that was a Ford salesman. And I was joking with him one day. I said, "Hey, by the way, what kind of a car do you drive?" And he says, "Why do you ask?" "Well, you're a Ford salesman, right?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you drive a Ford?" He said, "Of course I do." I said, "Why do you think I'd be so stupid and drive something else?" I said, "Well, I'm just checking, you know. I was wondering, you know, how many sales reps do that? If they, a Ford rep or a Chevy rep, you know, maybe they drive a Nissan instead." But yes, who do we stand for? Who are we rooting for? And it's my prayer this morning that we are rooting for Jesus. Amen. Amen. As that was so beautifully sung. Anyone want to be deeper in love with Jesus this morning? That is my prayer for each of us as we worship together here today. As we get into our sermon, I invite you once more to bow your heads with me. Father in God, speak to us, please. Speak to your servant this morning. Touch our ears to hear your voice once more. Touch our hearts that you may be able to enter in. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you can't hear me in the back, raise your hand. I'll try to. In fact, in Hawaiian, we say kule kule. If you're hard of hearing, if you're kule kule, just come a little bit closer. Or let me know, I'll try to speak up a little bit louder. This morning's sermon is entitled Born Free. Anyone born free this morning? Oh, man, I tell you what, folks, come on. Everyone, every hand that believes in Jesus should be going up into the air because you were born free. In 1966, Matt Monroe was selected to sing a song entitled Born Free. Anyone remember that?
Yeah.
Some of you have been around that long, huh? Besides me. In fact, by the way, I'm glad to hear that this church was built in the same year that I was born, 1949. So if you've been around a while, yeah, you would have heard this song. And maybe you even went to the movie entitled Born Free. Remember the lyrics? It says this: born free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart. Live free and beauty surrounds you. The world still astounds you each time you look at a star. Stay free where no walls divide you. You're free as a roaring tide, so there's no need to hide. Born free, and life is worth living, but only worth living because you're born free. Both the song and the movie Born Free were made to emphasize the importance of giving animals the space that they need to live in habitat. Now, I'm not sure if Matt Monroe was a Christian, but if he only knew that when he sang this song, how true it is that each one of us was born to be free. Free to live in this wild, chaotic world that is filled with sin. Created in the very image of God, man was placed in a world that was free from sin, guiltless, not even knowing what it meant to die. It was God's original plan that man live in a world without sin. Now, we have no timeline of how long it was before man was created, and when man first sinned in the Garden of Eden, but it happened. You remember the story. But when it did happen, God, who? God, immediately put the plan of redemption into action. And ever since then, man has had the opportunity to choose life or death. Romans 3:23, a familiar verse. Anyone know it by memory? What does it say? Come on, church. I cannot hear you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By the way, just let me throw this little question out to you for you to think of as you go about your daily life. It says here that all have sinned. Why not Jesus? Okay, I'm just throwing that question out to you. That's not part of my sermon today, but okay. Something for you to think about. Why not Jesus? Well, because we have all sinned, we walk around with a guilty conscience, condemned to die. But I praise God that He is a God that doesn't want to leave us in this condition of guilt and shame. But even though in Romans 6:23 it tells us that because of our sins, we each face a death penalty. But the verse continues to tell us that if we so choose, there is a gift that is available to each one of us. And that gift is, of course, eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is why Jesus wants each of us to love as He loves. For those of you that were here the last time that I spoke, you remember that I spoke on love. Does anyone remember what the L, the O, the B, and the E stood for?
My wife.
Oh, okay, go ahead, give us the L, honey. Go ahead and give us the L.
Loyalty.
All right. I love you, honey. But yes, the L in the word love is for loyal. Anyone remember the O? If I am loyal?
One.
If I'm loyal to Jesus, I become one with Him. Okay? And if I continue to love as He wants me to love, I'm not only loyal and one. Anyone remember the V? Victory. Anyone want victory this morning? Anyone have victory this morning in Jesus? Hallelujah. And the E? Eternity. Eternal life. Yes. You will recall that I read from John 15, verses 9 through 11, where it said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Anyone have full joy this morning? Oh, come on. Every hand should be shooting up because of Jesus. You have joy. But do you have the joy that only Jesus can give you? Give me. How many of you would like to have your joy to be full? In fact, what does it mean to have your joy be full? Can we have full joy if we're feeling guilty? Because we know that there is a particular sin that I've been committing every now and then. And we find ourselves still doing it over and over and over again, even though we've asked God a zillion number of times for forgiveness. And that leads to another situation that many Christians struggle with. And as a result, they do not experience this full joy that Jesus is talking about here in John 15, verse 11. And the struggle is the thought of not being sure that I have been forgiven. It amazes me today of how many Christians including Adventist Christians, are walking around not being sure that they have been forgiven. What a shame. Walking around with that burden, even though they go to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I have just done. Please forgive me. But they start questioning and doubting God's mercy. And as a result, they ask, has God really forgiven me? Again, I've sinned again and again and again. Did I say again? Again. All right? I've done this so many times. And man, he must be tired of forgiving me already. But surely, God won't forgive me anymore. They remember what Paul says in Romans 7, verse 24, where Paul cries out, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Wretched man that I am. And unfortunately, when they read this verse, they stop right there. Instead of believing that their wretchedness has been removed. Why? Because of Jesus. Amen. What he has done for each one of us. They continue to consider themselves wretched. But I praise God that in the very next verse, if they were to continue on reading the last verse of Romans chapter 7, verse 45, where it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. So who will deliver me from this body of death, as wretched as I may be? Jesus. Jesus. You'll find that. In fact, I encourage you to read Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8, if you have the chance. Beautiful chapters showing us who our God is and where and what he wants us to be. Now notice that Paul said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul is referring to the Son of God as Jesus Christ our Lord. And here Paul is reestablishing the fact that Jesus, number one, is human. Jesus is Christ because he is also divine. He is our Lord because he is our master. And that if we so choose to surrender our lives to him, he is in control of each of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Again, to go back to the song that was beautifully sung moments ago. Anyone want a deeper love of Jesus?
Amen.
I invite you to spend time with this man called Jesus. As you're driving, as you're arguing with your spouse, talk to Jesus. No matter what is going on in your life, talk to Jesus. Okay? It is time for us as God's people to rise up from our doubts and fears, to claim God's promises found in his holy word. And as our Lord, we can trust him to fulfill all his promises to us so that we may be able to walk around in the fullness of his joy. Anyone remember 1 John chapter 1, verse 9? Come on, just read it.
If we confess our sins to you,
he's faithful and just. Okay? Someone help her out. If we confess our sins, he is what? Are you sure he is faithful? How do you know that? The Bible says so. And have you experienced his faithfulness? Not just because the Bible says so. The Bible says a lot of things. But do we experience it? Are we living it? So that, yes, when I do go, in fact, what is that? Hebrews 4, verse 16. We can go where? Boldly before his throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace. Amen?
Amen.
That's the God we serve, folks. So that when I go on my knees before him and say, Lord, I confess, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive. And he doesn't just stop right there. He cleanses. He takes out his big eraser and erases that sin as though he did no wrong. Amen?
Amen?
That's what God has for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He wants you to know this morning that you were born to be free from guilt and condemnation. Because, as the Bible says, if I confess, he is faithful. He will forgive. He is just. He will cleanse from a little bit of unrighteousness. I'm glad my word says all unrighteousness. So where does that leave us? I spick and span, all clean. I remember I grew up on a little island called Molokai in Hawaii, population of about 5,000 people. There was no traffic, so hence no traffic, no need for traffic signals. Thus a two-lane highway from one end of the island to the other. But I remember my brother and I, as we were growing up, there were days when we used to have some heavy rainstorms like you have here. And because of the heavy rains, we were not able to get to school because the roads would be blocked. And my brother and I would be happy because we didn't have to go to school. And we would go out. And by the way, I grew up in a cattle ranch. And there was a lot of dirt, mud, manure. And we'd go out and play and roll around in this mud, pushing each other, shoving each other. And, of course, Mom would come out and say, you boys, get in here and get all cleaned up. And, of course, reluctantly, we would listen to Mom because we knew what would happen if we didn't. And I won't go there. But anyway, after we changed our clothes, I remember Mom would always say, don't get dirty. What did Jesus tell the woman that was caught in adultery? You got to be kidding me. Sin no more? I'm a sinner. Any thief around here? In our midst? Anyone caught for stealing? Don't raise your hand. A thief. A person, if they get caught with stealing, is labeled as a thief, right? Now, let me throw this question out to you. Just because this individual is labeled as a thief, does it mean that he should go on stealing for the rest of his life? Get the idea? If we are false sinners, does that mean we need to continue living in sin for the rest of our life? For those false sin, God forbid. God forbid. Why? Because he served a risen Savior. A Savior who was victorious over every single temptation. And he invites you and I to partake of his victory. So that you and I, no matter what the devil throws before us, we will not give in to this devil and allow ourselves to be tempted. In John 8, verse 32, another familiar verse, what is it, church? And ye shall know the truth, and what happens? The truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth. This is Jesus speaking here. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's the truth? What is truth?
God is
true. Okay? Jesus said of himself in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is true. Now, if the truth makes you free, what does it make you free from? From sin. Okay. Let's take this a little further. Remember we mentioned 1 John 1 verse 9, where it says he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Our sins are forgiven. But now, as I mentioned a bit ago, Jesus said to the woman, what?
Sin no more.
You gotta be saying, Pat, you gotta be kidding. Look how weak I am. I've been struggling over and over again. How long have I been praying to God for strength? For just so I can stop this particular sin that I've been committing. What's the issue here? Why the struggle? Because we're sinful people. We're sinful people, yes. But again, does it mean I need to continue sinning? Just because I'm sinful. Okay? We expect the thief to stop stealing, right? We send them to jail and try to rehabilitate them, right? Does God do the same for us as his children? Again and again. God has been trying to rehabilitate you and I every moment of the day. When you first accepted Jesus Christ, not only as your Savior, but as Lord of your life, the plan of redemption went into action for you, for me. All again because of Jesus. Jesus, who said, and ye shall know the truth. When you know the truth about me, it will make you free. Make you free. Jesus, who lived a sinless life. Jesus, who died for everyone. Jesus, who came forth from the tomb, victorious over sin and the grave. Hallelujah. Yeah. And because Jesus Christ did all of this for us, we now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can live as he lived. It doesn't mean that we are not going to be tempted anymore. But what it does mean is that whenever we are tempted to do wrong, we will choose victory instead of defeat over every temptation. Simply because of my love for Jesus that empowers me to be loyal, to be one, to have victory, to have eternal life, so that I may live in freedom of guilt and doubt. And we are able to live this way because we can claim the promise Jesus gave us in our scripture text for today. That was found in John 8:36, where it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The word indeed here comes from a word that means circuit. It is for circuit. You are free. Anyone want freedom this morning? Anyone want to continue to have freedom every day of your life in Jesus? Hallelujah. You know, it is no wonder why Jesus says in John 15, verse 4, abide where?
In me.
And I in you. Jesus is just simply saying here, stay with me. Stay very close to me. Why? Because you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tried. But if you stay close to me, you will have victory. I remember times when I was back on Molokai as a little boy. Where we did live, there were no street lights. So it'd be pitch black at night. Unless there was a moon out. So the only light available was from the house. Our closest neighbor on one side was about a quarter of a mile away. And on the other side of us, that neighbor was almost a mile away. Behind was a mountain, and in front was the ocean. So hence, the only light was from our house. And there were times when I would have to go out. This is when I was like 6, 7 years old. And do something for the family that my dad wanted us to do. Dad said, oh, I forgot. And you go in. And of course, I would say, oh, yeah, sure. But then I'm thinking, okay, it's dark out there. And I remember being afraid of going out in the dark. But then there were those special times when Dad would go with me. And of course, I would grab his hand as tight as I could and walk with him. And guess what? There's no fear of the dark. As long as I stayed with my dad. Jesus invites you to do the same with him. Take hold of his hand. Hold on to it tightly. And you will never fear of being guilty. Never doubt that you have been forgiven. Never doubt that God still loves you. And again, as Jesus said in John 8, verse 11, go and sin no more. He says that same to us today. Because you have chosen me to be your master, go and sin no more, that your joy may be full. Again, anyone want full joy? I pray that you have it already and continue to have it. Hold on to it dearly. As you hold on to Jesus, his promise is you're born free. Amen. And stay free. In fact, as the lyric says in a song, stay free where no walls divide you. Life is worth living, but only worth living because you're born free. Now we can only do this through the help of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to invite my wife to come up right now, share a song entitled, He is Here. Please open that.
Thank you. Yeah, I
have a song. Where is it?
Huh?
Where is it? Where is it? The pandemic?
No.
As my wife is looking for the song, this is a song that constantly reminds, every time I hear her sing it, it's a constant reminder to my own self of how much I need the Holy Spirit working in and through me, and each of us as well as a church family. And I invite you to listen to the words as she sings.
I'm here to thank you.
Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be, where? In Christ, what is this person? A new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. The old life of doubt and fear is gone. Behold, all things are new. Hallelujah. Because he is here. You and I are free. I'm going to ask Brother Cleveland to come up at this time and share a little.
Born free. Thank you. Sister Mary, thank you so much for that song. He's here. Thank you. You know, now I understand why yesterday afternoon, that Friday, busy trying to get the church ready for today. And the devil said, no, you are not going to worship here today. But God had another plan. So, it does not make any difference where you meet. God is there. As my sister Mary is saying, he's here. He's here. And thank you so much for that song. Sister Helene, can you come up front, please? I know it's a surprise. And all the fathers, can you stand up? We got something for you from the Vista Church. I said all the fathers. I gave only the fathers. And Sister Helene will. Sister Helene will pass there, will start with the back over here, and everybody will just speak one phrase. Yes, yeah, just to everybody. Start here. In this just a small token, thank you for sending for the Victor Church. Thank you for sending for the family. You know the Bible says a father is a priest of the family. Yeah. So when you hear about the head of the house, you are the priest. That's number one first. And I thank you for that, for protecting your family, supporting your family, and also supporting the church. We thank you for that.